T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, it's Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies, Memphis, and more. Presented by the Majestic Grill. Rediscover downtown dining. Chris Harrington on 92.9's Jeff Calkins Show.
Chris, what are we listening to?
That's a Big Tall Man by Liz Phair from her underrated 1998 album, White Chocolate Space Egg. Sending that out to all the centers on display in the NCAA tournament yesterday.
So I'll get to them in a minute. It was nice to see our mayor, at least on Twitter, I saw it. Jessica Benson tweeted it out, banging in a three. You were impressed.
Yep.
But I later read, though, that the mayor went 2 of 14 from three.
I didn't know that. All I knew was Jessica's tweet, so right. I was reacting to that.
Yeah, exactly.
So maybe I was wrong. Maybe I gave him too much credit.
Here's the money ball. I think he hit the money ball, and that's impressive. I don't know. I think a lot of mayors. I prefer the mayor.
The key is not the percentage.
Uh-huh.
If you only get one shot and make it, that's great.
Yeah.
But if you're not going to do that, at least go out on a make.
Right. You go out on a make.
Make the shot and then get out of there.
And he did.
Go out on a make.
He walked off triumphantly, having dropped in a three-pointer. All right. As to the bigs, you've obviously had a lot going on with the move and everything else. Were you able to watch any of the bigs?
I actually watched a pretty good amount. I didn't get to see much the first 3 days of the tournament, but I watched a lot of basketball yesterday, so that was nice.
Okay, so there were three bigs on display yesterday, all of whom...
Well, four, technically, because Missy played. I sort of missed him even watching the game,
right.
But he was out there.
Missy played, Filipowski played, Klingon played. Oh, and I guess we're looking at Purdue as well. Zach Edey played. So all four.
Yeah, Zach Edey kind of played.
He played a little bit. So it's funny. I was actually counting the other three only because I find him a difficult projection in the NBA. But let's start with Zach Edey. What'd you think?
I mean, he's a great college basketball player.
Right.
And like a dominant college basketball player. And at some level, I think it's reasonable to ask, like, are people overthinking this a little bit?
Because
he's so dominant. There's one thing about applying him directly just to the NBA generally, and there are questions about that.
Right.
I think when you apply him to the Grizzlies specifically, you add additional questions on top of the broader questions. And so the biggest broad question is the foot speed defensively. Like, he'll have defensive value just because he's massive.
Right.
And so you'll drop him back and he'll like take up room in the paint and grab defensive rebounds. The question people have is his foot speed laterally, and are you going to make him switch on pick and roll, or are you going to play five out and make him guard like stretch bigs? Is he just going to get exposed defensively? I think that's a very legitimate question.
Yeah. But
I think on top of that
go ahead. Yeah, well, on top of that, there's a usage issue. You don't need someone to feed the basketball to, right? Like,
this is the thing with the Grizzlies. The thing on offense, he's a great post-up player. So there's question B, A, will that post-up game translate as well to the NBA? But then B, how much is the team really going to feed him in the post? And if fewer percentage of the possessions with him on the floor or him getting a post-up play, how useful is he outside of that? And so the Grizzlies... And that's not the only reason. That's one of the reasons they moved on from Valanciunas. They wanted to shift touches and shots more to Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, Jarrett Jackson. You still got those three. You add G.G. Jackson on the come up. If Zach Edey's best attribute is his low post offense, but he's going to be your fifth option on your pecking order offensively, like how much you're going to use him that way and how valuable is he going to be to your offense when you're not using him that way on top of the defensive questions. Yeah. So I think there are a lot of questions there. He's also putting up like 30 and 20 in games.
He is a tremendous college basketball player. Feels like every rebound he gets, he would certainly help there. But it is interesting. You watch him and the questions about foot speed and defensive just leap out at you against college players, right? And so if you're not taking advantage of his strengths on the offensive end and he's getting exposed defensively, I think, honestly, that's why you see him mostly projected as a late first rounder. Would you think, by the way, though, that, like, what would Yao Ming be in this NBA?
You know, you watch him play and you see some glimmers of that there.
Yeah.
In terms of just the massive size. He's not just big. He's got touch. He's got footwork. You know, Yao, I don't remember shooting a lot of jumpers. I mean, maybe a little more skilled. I have to go back and watch, but that was a different era of basketball. With a lot of these guys, you can apply this to Klingon, too. There's a question of, is shooting going to develop? Because sometimes it does. Like, Brook Lopez didn't take jump shots when he entered the NBA, and then he became one of the best three-point shooting bigs in the league. You know, Jonas Valanciunas over time developed a three-point shot. That stuff happens. It doesn't even have to be a three-point shot. But the idea that you can, like, make a shot on the perimeter to some degree, that develops with some guys over time. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. It's hard to – you can't know. But that's a question with him. That's a question with Klingon.
All right, let's go to Kyle Filipowski for Duke. What'd you think?
I think he's a really good basketball player, and I seem to be more torn or more uncertain on the Filipowski Klingon question than most Grizzlies observers are.
Uh-huh.
I think that's a real question for me. Filipowski has a more versatile game. He's more of a clear sort of like every down back.
Yep.
To mix my sports metaphors. You know, the questions with him is, you know, there's one question, is he more of a four or a five?
Yeah.
That's a kind of a question. He's a seven-footer, but he's not like an enormous behemoth seven-footer. You know, he's not built that differently from like Santi and Jaren. He's more that kind of guy, more of a combo big kind of build. You know, is he more Lauri Markkanen than Kelly Olynyk? Even if he's more Kelly Olynyk, that's also kind of a, you know, it's not like your big rugged center. But he can shoot, he can pass. I think he's active defensively. He's got a good feel for the game. Actually, he's a good basketball player. The question would be, are there athletic limitations in terms of speed and strength that sort of puts a ceiling on him and it's going to make him an average at best NBA player instead of where he's been a great college player? And then there's the question of, does he duplicate what you already have? Like, how different is he from Santi Aldama at the end of the day?
He certainly does not, and you don't have to answer this. You don't have to fill this need with your first-round pick. There are other ways to do it. But he does not fill the need of someone to bang with Rudy Gobert. You know,
that's right.
He does not do that. And I think he'll be a good NBA player next year, or he will be a contributing NBA player next year. I think you've identified the questions there fit with the Grizzlies. All right, let's go to Misi, who was sort of there yesterday. 2 points, four rebounds. It's interesting. I did a bunch of reading on him over the weekend, and there's some real enthusiasm for him. And then I read Hollinger's scouting report, and Hollinger pointed out he's actually not that long for a seven-footer, and he's like he is. I would have a hard time imagining him contributing next year to the Grizzlies. Of course, we didn't see much of him. But what were your thoughts on Misi?
I don't have a lot of feel for him based on what limited feel I have. It seems like too much of a dice roll to me. And so I'm not enthusiastic about him as a Grizzlies draft prospect. I could change my tune as I spend more time with it. But I would say, you know, it's like he could be Clint Capela in 3 years. Or he could not be, you know?
Right.
And so I'm not super enthusiastic about it.
Particularly given that we've identified, like, you do want this next draft pick. It would be great if they help the Grizzlies over the next 10 years. That would be fabulous. But you also,
you can look at Donovan Klingon and say, oh, he's only going to be a 20-minute-a-game guy next season.
But he's going to be a 20-minute guy.
20
yeah.
minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Misi might be a 5-minute-a-game guy.
You want someone to be able to help you next year, like, in the next 2 years, which brings me to the final one, which is Certainly my favorite, and I think, yes, by universal acclaim, the Grizzlies fans tends to be emerging. Donovan Clingan, your thoughts on Clingan?
Well, he was really good yesterday. He's been really good in the tournament. I think he had 8 blocks, right? Double-double, 8 blocks. He was finishing stuff at and above the rim. I liked some of the outlet passing I saw. Get the defensive rebound and get it out, that, which, you know, Steve Adams did, Kyle Anderson did. I think that is an underrated sort of attribute for someone to have for the Grizzlies. You know, when you have John Morant out there, you're trying to get out in transition. If you could be a plus defensive rebounder and a good outlet passer, I think that's a sneaky important thing for the Grizzlies that I think would have a lot of value. With Clingan, I think about, and I probably need to get more into this, and I will at some point when I write. The thing with the Grizzlies, when you think about Jaren, I think the Grizzlies are at their best defensively with a center of Clingan's type, assuming that he's good, right?
Right.
A center of that type who's going to dominate, who's going to control the defensive glass, is going to take on the bigger centers, lets Jaren roam and just like roam and contest everything, which is what got him Defensive Player of the Year last year. That dynamic, I think, is the best dynamic for the Grizzlies' defense. Well, the Grizzlies haven't had that all season, and they're like a top 10 defense with just chaos and nonsense going on around, you know?
Right.
And so I think that the bigger concern for the Grizzlies is on the offensive end. And you get it's sort of an interesting thing because Steven Adams actually impacted the Grizzlies' offense more than the defense, so maybe it would work out great offensively. There's a difference between what's good for team offense and what's good for Jaren Jackson Jr. offense.
Right.
And the Grizzlies' primary concern should be what's good for team offense, and that's a little more up in the air. I don't think it's great for Jaren Jackson Jr. offense because when you have a center like that who can't space the floor, suddenly they have to be involved in the main action and Jaren's a spot-up shooter. And so I don't think you're maximizing Jaren. But again, your goal is not to maximize Jaren. Your goal is to maximize your team. And so I think that's an interesting question. So with Clingan, I would worry. The best-case scenario with Clingan is he's sort of like Steven Adams Jr. and like, that's great. The worst-case scenario with Clingan, well, the worst-case scenario is he can't play because that's the worst-case scenario with all of these guys, and sometimes right. It happens. But the more like mid-low-case scenario is he's like a situational player, that he's a guy who's more of a 20-25 minute, a game guy, and then in the playoffs, maybe he helps you and maybe he doesn't. It depends on the matchup series to series. So that would be my little concern with him, that he's more of a specialist player. But, you know, if that passing is real and if he can develop some kind of shooting, like, you know, maybe there's upside from there. I'm not saying Clingan wouldn't be my pick. He might be my pick,
right.
But I'm just not quite all the way there yet.
Well, and there's the foot problems, you know, like that's obviously goes
yeah.
With, that's sort of at the outset, a giant man who has had documented foot issues is an issue. I do wonder the way he's blowing up here. I mean, he's really putting together his best stretch of basketball in his career right now.
Well, the ESPN has updated mock today and they haven't missed.
I was going to say, has he blown up ahead of the Grizzlies, particularly that Toronto has decided never to win another game.
And, right.
The Grizzlies are now 7th from the bottom. So I do wonder. I have not seen the updated mock. Do you have it in front of you?
I don't have in front of me because I'm walking around.
That's fine.
But
Jeffrey, can you look up?
Clingan up to 5th was the most notable thing I remember from it.
All right, I have it in front of me. Right now, the number one pick would be Zachary Risache to the Pistons, Alex Sarr to the Wizards, Rob Dillingham 3 to the Spurs, Nikola Topic 4 to the Hornets, Clingan 5 to the Blazers, Matthias Buzeli, 6 to the Raptors, and then Reed Shepard, 7 to the Grizzlies.
It is interesting. So many of these guys are gone or flopped or whatever, including Dillingham, including Shepard, including Jacoby Walter yesterday missing the free throws. Doesn't mean he can't be a great pro. In fact, he looks like he kind of will be a good pro. Like he looks like a guy
right.
Who's going to fit in and be a long-time 12-year, 15-year wing in the league. Did you notice anyone else in particular? Chris, watching yesterday? Go ahead.
I'm trying to remember like the teams I watched.
Right.
Tyler Kolek of Marquette, there's a dude who knows how to play basketball.
Yeah, he knows how to play basketball,
And so you wonder, like, how does that translate, given the athleticism, whatever? Like, guess what? Athletically, he doesn't look that much different than Jalen Brunson looked in college. He's a little puppy, a little slow, but good size, really play, can shoot, can pass. You know, is he going to be there at 38 when the Grizzlies pick in the second round?
Right.
I think the guy from Duke, McCain or McClain, who had the hot three-point shooting, he seems to be a guy who's going to rise just because he's like a real athlete right. who can really stroke the three, and that's someone who I think has helped themselves in the tournament.
Jeffrey, where is Filipowski in this draft, and where is Misi, and I don't know if
I thought this was
Edie.
Interesting, to Chris's point. 14, the Pelicans, Zach Edey. 15, Kyle Filipowski to the Sixers. 20, the Knicks take Misi. And then, as Chris was also mentioning, at 19, Jaron McClain to the Suns.
Yeah, it may just evolve that, you know, they're going to have to fill their center some other way. You know, if Klingon goes...
Remember, Zach Kleiman trades like 85% of the time in the draft. So, like, where the Grizzlies wind up on May 12th or whatever the lottery is doesn't necessarily mean that's the player they're getting out of the draft.
Right. In terms of that Jaren Jackson Jr. offense and how it meshes with Donovan Klingon, we saw what he could do against San Antonio the other night.
Yeah, he had a good game. He hit the game winner. When you have a season without many wins, you don't get a lot of game winners. And so that's the only – I mean, that's the second one I can remember. That's not a buzzer beater, but that's basically a game winner. It's a go-ahead bucket with 1 second left.
Right.
I count that. So you had the game winner of the season was obviously Ja at New Orleans in the return game. That is untoppable. But, like, that's the only other one I can remember that I would put in the game winner column. And so that's him going ISO, creating a shot. It was a shot – it was technically in the paint, but it was like one step in the paint. That was kind of a short mid-range shot. That is not the kind of shot you associate with Jaren, but even that, I think, shows some of the growth. That whole play showed some of the growth he's had this season as a one-on-one ISO scorer shot creator, definitely.
And then finally, don't look now, Houston, only one game back of Golden State. And a little bit, a game and a half back of the Lakers or something like that for the play-in. So my question for you is, who are you rooting for there? Of those, if two of the three, the Lakers, Golden State, and there is some separation between Dallas, Sacramento. So it looks like those two are going to be 9 and 10. Two of those three are going to be 9 and 10, are going to be the play-in. Who do you want to see in the play-in? Golden State, the Lakers, you want to see Dylan and LeBron again? Who you want?
If I could have the Lakers be the team that falls out, like, I'll take that. That would be funny to me. To me, there's no depth. For me personally, there's no downside to that one. So I'll take that. I'll take Houston and Golden State in the play-in game. That's fine.
Houston and Golden State in the play-in game. I traffic in much more pettiness in terms of sports than you do. But I'm not above it. But I have no problem with Houston and Dylan getting in. It's obviously surprising. They looked like it was put a fork on them a month and a half ago, right?
Well, there are petty rooting interests with all three of those teams. So there's the Dylan thing that you mentioned. There's the, like, we're anti-Lakers as a matter of principle.
Right.
There's that. Then with the Warriors, obviously there's a lot of history there, recent history in those two teams. There's also, their pick is the main thing that went out in the Marcus Smart trade. And so, like, you know, the better the pick that is, the least bad you feel about it, the lower it is. So, you know.
Yeah. All right, Chris, appreciate it. Thanks.
Thanks.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.